I invite you to open in your Bibles to the 119th Psalm. As you find your place there, I'd invite you to stand out of respect for the Word of God as we read just the first eight verses. Psalm 119, beginning in verse number 1. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies, and that seek Him with a whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in His ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep Thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep Thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all Thy commandments. I will praise Thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned Thy righteous judgments. I will keep Thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly. Father, we thank You for Your word, and now as we spend just a few moments in it this morning, bless us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. As we enter a new year, I always encourage you to pick up a Bible reading schedule and read through your Bible from Genesis chapter 1, verse number 1, all the way through to Genesis chapter 22, verse 21. If you haven't started yet, I'd encourage you to pick up a schedule on your way out. We have some on the track rack on the top shelf of that for you to use. And it's not too late to get started. You'd be surprised how easy it is to read through your entire Bible. If you've never done it, let me encourage you to try it. Once you do it once, you'll want to just keep on doing it. But every year, if you'd go back and check the record, every year, the first Sunday of a new year, I always try to challenge you about God's Word, to read the Word of God. And so this morning I'd like to try to do that again. And I thought, what better place to go than the 119th Psalm. Here the psalmist took each of the Hebrew letters of their alphabet and wrote an amazing acrostic all about God's Word. There's only about three verses in all of this entire psalm that do not in some way, shape, or form mention the Word of God. And so I want to begin looking at it this morning. We obviously don't have time to cover the entire chapter, but this tells us a lot about God's Word. And I perhaps will be oversimplifying just a little bit this morning, because I'm going to take each of the sections, which are each a part of the acrostic. The first eight verses that we read all begin with the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet. But in these eight verses that we read, what I saw as a general overall theme is just simply the Word of God gives us confidence before God. The Word of God gives us confidence before God. Now, confidence before God is something that's important in the life of the Christian, because it's only when we have confidence before God that we're able to come boldly before His throne of grace. We have confidence first and foremost because we know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. And that when we bow down before His throne, we know that we're coming before a Heavenly Father. And we don't hesitate and we don't hold back on asking our fathers for our needs when we're children. And God presents His relationship to us in that same way. He is our Father and we are His child. And so He encourages us to come before Him. And so we first need to settle that matter, first and foremost, knowing that we are, without any shadow of a doubt, a child of God. That we have, in fact, trusted the Lord Jesus Christ to be our Savior, and we've been born again. And so confidence before God is important just in our prayer lives. But it's also important in our daily lives as we seek to serve God and do His will. We need to be confident that we're walking with Him and before Him in order to find that will and to follow it. Now, the psalmist touches on this idea of having confidence before God, especially in verse number 6. When he says, then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all Thy commandments. Now he had, in the previous verse, alluded to the proneness of the heart of man to wander and to stray from the path that God has laid out before us. When he states this comment to God in verse number 5, oh, that my ways were directed to keep Thy statutes. It almost reads like a summation of Romans chapter number 7, where the Apostle Paul is saying that he knew what he was supposed to do, but he found himself doing just the opposite. That's almost what the psalmist is saying here. I know what I'm supposed to do, but I find myself going and doing the wrong things. But he says, as I come to God's Word, I can have confidence before God because in there I read of my relationship as His child. I read about the blood that cleanses me free from my sin. I read about His desire, His eagerness to have that fellowship with me. And so we come to the Word of God and we read it and we study it because it gives us confidence before God. Now I want to jump down a few verses here to verse number 41. Because not only does the Bible give us confidence before God, but it also, we'll find here, gives us confidence before man. Gives us confidence before man. In verse number 41, he writes, "Let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation according to thy word. So shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me, for I trust in thy word." You notice what he says there? He says, there are those that reproach me, those that make fun of me, those that mock me, those that criticize me. He says, I don't know what to say to them, but when I come to the Word of God, I have a ready answer. When I come to the Word of God, I know how I'm supposed to respond. When I come to the Word of God, He tells me how to take care of these relationships with other people that aren't always the way I wish they would be. You see, some of the life's most challenging moments are just dealing with other people, aren't they? Especially if you try to live for the Lord, you're going to find that there are people who don't appreciate it. Now, if you had lived like they live, if you had talked like they talk, if you'd watched the things that they watch, if you drank the things that they drank and smoked the things that they smoke, there wouldn't be any problem. You'd get along just fine with them, but because you stand out and live a different life, you come under their radar of criticism. How are we to respond to them? What should we say to them? How should we talk to them? Should we respond in anger? Should we respond in like fashion? God gives us the instruction on how to say it and gives us the words to tell them in His Word. And so we can have confidence before man. Having that answer. He goes on in verse 43 and says, "And take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in thy judgments. So shall I keep thy law continually forever and ever, and I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts." Now that's an interesting verse there, verse number 45, when he mentions liberty, because I remember growing up unsaved, and the idea behind the Baptists was that we are so strict you can't have any fun. And that was my attitude towards Christianity before I got saved and found out it's exactly the opposite. But they look at us and say, "You guys are legalists. You don't have any liberal or any liberty to enjoy life." But the secret is right here in this verse, that we have liberty in the Word of God to do what's right and to avoid what's wrong. Those that are lost and in their sins don't have any liberty to avoid the wrong. And so they're on this speeding train heading for a crash and no way to change tracks and no way to slow the train down, let alone stop the train. They have no liberty at all. They're in bondage to sin and they don't even realize it. Only through the Word of God do we have this liberty. And so we can walk confidently before man and say to them, especially after this New Year's, I hope you said to them, "I'm not going to go out and drink on New Year's Eve, because God commands me not to. And I find greater joy in not doing so. I find greater joy in obeying God rather than becoming a slave and in bondage to a bottle." We find that from the Word of God. We can have confidence before men. Verse 46, "I will speak." Notice that. The third word in that verse is the word "speak." Psalm 119, verse 46, "I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings." And what does he say? "Will not be ashamed." Will not be ashamed. When he says that he'll speak of his testimonies, that means that when the dialogue comes up, when the conversation turns its way to moral issues, he's going to teach and tell others what God has to say on the subject. You know, we're coming up here in a few weeks to the anniversary of Roe versus Wade, perhaps the greatest travesty our nation has ever seen. You know, we can look at certain things. We can look at taking prayer and then taking the Bible out of our school system, which had their effects. But I think for God's judgment being poured on our nation, I don't think there's any greater act that was done other than Roe versus Wade. I think that is the single most determining factor in judgment falling on our land. When we decided as a nation that it was legal to murder innocent babies in their mother's wombs. Act of barbarism that not even a lost culture would conceive of. And so as the conversation comes up to that here in the next few weeks, what will you say? How will you respond? Will you be silent? Or will you speak the testimonies of God on the subject? Our testimony may not be the popular, I should say, politically correct one. But if you do the polls and watch the polls, you'll find out that it is the most popular one. It's unfortunate our politicians don't follow their constituencies and represent us. But we can have confidence before men as we come to the Word of God and we learn God's Word. Look at the last one in this set in verse number 48. My hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved. And notice this last phrase. And I will meditate in thy statutes. I will meditate in thy statutes. When was the last time you meditated in the Word of God to gain understanding? What is God saying here? What does He want me to know? How does He want me to act? How does He want me to respond to what was just written? You see, we need to read the Word of God. We need to meditate in the Word of God because, number one, it gives us confidence before men, before God. Number two, it gives us confidence before men. Well, let's back up now to verse number nine. Because we find, thirdly, we want to be in God's Word, studying God's Word, because God's Word will keep us from sin. Verse number nine, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? Now, that's a good question. When we look at the society in which we live and we see so much vulgarity, we see so much violence, we see so much lawlessness, what will it take to change our nation? Will it take stricter laws? Will it take looser laws? Believe it or not, one of the strongest arguments for legalizing marijuana is because it will create less juvenile delinquents, less criminals. You just legalize the crime. And you don't have to arrest them and they don't have a record. That's one of the arguments they're putting forward to legalize that junk. Well, God has a different answer, doesn't He? God's answer for curing the sin problem in our culture, and He specifically points out the young people, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways by taking heed thereto according to thy word. Now our culture is doing exactly the opposite. We have those that are fighting to pull any concept of the Word of God out of our public life. If you want to worship at home and keep it to yourself, then do it, but keep it to yourself. Don't do it publicly. Don't force it on us. Don't even mention it. We live in some pretty crazy times. We're doing just the opposite of what God says. We need to be people who are in the Word of God so that it will keep us from sin. And then we need to share it with others, as we spoke about in the previous point, so that that will then keep them from making those same mistakes. You know, I really appreciate the Women and Teens Pregnancy Center and what a privilege it is for us to have a part in that ministry, whose primary goal is to win those parents to Christ. They want to save the babies, but their philosophy is, what good does it do to save a baby and send them into paganism where they're going to repeat the same mistakes to their parents? And so their primary task is to win mom and dad to Christ, knowing then that the baby will be saved and then also given an opportunity for salvation later in life. You see, the Word of God will keep us from sin. And so they take the Word of God, and as they have people come in or call on their hotline, they share the Word of God with them. And then leave it in God's hand and the Holy Spirit of God to take that Word and convict them of their sin and lead them to Christ. And as we're saved and as we read the Word of God, we have our sin exposed to us that we might confess it. You see, sin is a very sneaky thing. Because as we sin, it then builds and builds, and as it builds, it separates us from God. And we no longer understand what sin is. And so we need the Word of God to bring us back and remind us to confess sin so that big wedge of sin between us and God may be removed. And so we read the Word of God. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto, according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. O, let me not wander from thy commandments. Notice verse 11. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Do you realize that it's talking more about than just Bible memorization? Because I know some of us would say that, you know, when I was a kid I could memorize, but at my age I can't memorize anything. And that's not true either, if we're honest. We all know who won the Michigan-Ohio State game last year, not this year, this year's obvious. We all know who won the year before, and the year before, and the year before. We memorize things. We know when our favorite TV show comes on. We know when we go to our favorite restaurant, we order our favorite meal. We know how much that's going to cost. It's not a surprise when we get the check and say, oh, I didn't realize it cost that. We know these things. We memorize all the time. And we say we can't memorize God's Word. Well, no, that's not the truth. We memorize what we want to memorize. But this is talking about more than just Bible memorization, and that's why I encourage you to read from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21 every year. Because as you read it over and over and over again, it becomes a part of you, and it enters into your heart. And that's part of what it means when it tells us that I have hid God's Word in mine heart. But you see, if we only spend our 5 or 7 minutes, and the book title I have never gotten over yet is 1 Minute Daily Devotions for the Busy Person. What a opposite. You know, how can you have a devotion that lasts 1 minute? I'm glad my wife is more devoted to me than that. I'd be a lot thinner, for one thing. But some people, that's all the devotion they have to God, is 1 minute. Then they wonder why they struggle with sin. And they wonder why they struggle with life. God says it's not a mystery, it's not a secret. He tells us right here, thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. He says, here's your answer. Spend some time in God's Word. More than just 5 minutes or 6 minutes. Spend some time. Take it and read it. And I've been saying here now for several months that if you don't feel like you can read through God's Word because you're not getting anything out of it from beginning to end in a systematic manner, then read it that way and then read more. You know, we love it when our favorite team goes into overtime and they win. It may not be the same story if they wind up losing in overtime, but we're excited about that. But we're not excited to let God go into overtime in our lives. Too often we close our Bibles before God has spoken to us. We close our Bibles before God's message has come through. And so we close it up and we go our way never having really met with God. And in our minds and in our consciences, we're justifying it and saying, well, I did my duty for the day. God says, thy word have I hid in mine heart. You see, it's going to take some effort. It's going to take some time. It's going to take some devotion. But it's worth every moment you spend in it. You see, we read through God's Word because God's Word gives us confidence before God. We read through God's Word because God's Word gives us confidence before men. We read through God's Word because God's Word keeps us from sin. In verse number 17 through 24, we see a fourth reason to read God's Word. Deal bountifully with thy servant that I may live and keep thy word. Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. I am a stranger in the earth, hide not thy commandments from me. My soul breaketh for the longing that it hath unto thy judgments at all times. Thou hast rebuked the proud that are cursed, which do err from thy commandments. Remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept thy testimonies. Princes also did sit and speak against me, but thy servant did meditate in thy statutes. Thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. You see, we come to the Word of God, fourthly, because the Word of God provides guidance. Provides guidance. Going all the way back to verse number 17, when he says, deal bountifully with thy servant that I may live. You know, there's people out there in the world that are breathing, that can talk, that can see, that have jobs and hold down jobs, have families, but God says they're not living. They're not living. You see, we're only living as we're living according to the Word of God. And the psalmist understood the difference between being alive and living. Those that are alive are just going through the motions, not really connecting with God, not really understanding their purpose and point for being here on earth. And when they enter eternity, whether they're saved or they're lost, they're going to get there and they're not going to like what they have. Because they missed it, because they left off the reading of God's Word and the meditating in God's Word. You notice he mentioned meditation again in that set of verses. The psalmist says, I want to live. I want to understand the reason God placed me here. I want to understand my purpose. I want to understand His will so that I can fulfill it in the way that He wants me to fulfill it, so that when I come to the end of my days, I can look back and say, I have truly lived. He talks more about the counsel in verse number 19 that God's Word gives when He says, I am a stranger in the earth. In the New Testament, they say we're pilgrims. This world is not our home. I'm just passing through, as the old song says. And because we're strangers here on earth, we don't fully understand its ways. At least we ought not understand its ways fully. The psalmist says, hide not thy commandments from me. In other words, show me what I should do. Show me how I should act. Show me how I should respond, because there's so many things that are mysterious to me that go on in this world. God's Word is counsel to us. And if we try to live without that counsel, we're not going to like the results. He mentions it in verse 21. Thou hast rebuked the proud. Now, who are the proud? The proud are those that reject God's Word. Those that don't read God's Word. Those that don't meditate God's Word. Those that don't try to live according to God's Word. He says, thou hast rebuked the proud that are cursed. Now, that doesn't sound very pleasant, does it? Cursed by God. Because they ignored God's Word. That's why we read the Word of God. Because, first of all, it gets confidence before God. Secondly, it gets confidence before men. Thirdly, it keeps from sin. And fourthly, because it provides guidance. Now, I could go on with each one of these sets of verses that all begin with the Hebrew letter, but we don't have time. But I hope you have a little more appreciation for God's Word, and that perhaps you've been challenged. And that if you haven't begun reading with Genesis chapter 1 yet this year, that you would begin this afternoon. As I mentioned, the schedules are there on the track rack. Help yourself. If we run out, we'll get more. They're easily accessible. But don't try to live your life, your Christian life, apart from the Word of God. Otherwise, you'll be alive, yet not living. Father, we thank you for your Word, the living book, that's more powerful than and sharper than a two-edged sword. Father, help us to renew our dedication to study your Word and to read your Word and to let it have its way in our lives, in order that we might live lives that are pleasing to you, fulfilling our purposes for which you've placed us here. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.